For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity by Crawford Loritz. I pray that you guys have been blessed by this episode. We're coming up on the end of part three. This book is about the four traits that he believes that Christian leaders live from and lead with. And that is one, brokenness, two, uncommon communion, three, servanthood, and then four is radical and immediate obedience. And we're coming to the end of the servanthood portion. This is the last chapter for that section. So we're coming towards the end of the book. I'm still unsure on what we'll be reading next, but I will keep you guys posted so that by the time we get through the last part, you've had enough time to get the next book and start reading. If you want to get this book, I highly recommend it. Click the link in the show notes. If you are called to leadership in any capacity, again, I highly recommend this book because it's just such a sobering book. And the text is, I say sobering because there's a lot of fluff out there as it relates to leadership. There's a lot of fake guru talk in the online space. And I believe that this book just offers a reality check for every Christian. And so I highly recommend it. The link to get it will be in the show notes. All right. So we are on chapter 13. The title is called The Power of Sacrifice. Every chapter opens up with a scripture and a quote. The scripture here is 2 Timothy 4:6-7, which says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the truth." And this was a powerful part of Paul's letter to Timothy before he was martyred. The quote is by Charles Spurgeon. It says, "We must not cry, go on, but come on. Our people may justly expect of us, at the very least, that we should be among the most self-denying, the most laborious, and the most earnest in the church, and somewhat more." Now, can I be honest with you guys about this chapter? This has been the first chapter that I've read through that I disagreed with a lot of what was said. And as I was going through it, I was just like, no, I don't think that this is true. I think this doesn't leave room for nuance. Like, I was so taken aback by my own reaction to the chapter that I had to phone a friend. I had to send a voice note to a friend of mine like, look, I'm reviewing this book on the podcast, this is what he's saying in this chapter, and I just don't agree. Like, am I tripping? But what we realized was, as I kind of talked out my grievances with a lot of what was said here, I think what is missing overall is a bit of clarity and context, because this book obviously is about sacrifice. And because he doesn't specify any type of boundaries or context, it just comes off as if, like, we're supposed to sacrifice everything for everybody. And I don't think that that is realistic or necessarily accurate. And I also don't think that's fully what he means. I just think that he could have been a lot more clear about the boundary or the context of sacrifice. I know this is talking about the power of it, but I think the power of sacrifice should have also been applied to the context in which that power is utilized. But nevertheless, let's go through this chapter with the understanding that this is the level of sacrifice that we have to embody when it comes to whatever the Lord has called us to. So he starts off the chapter giving a story saying that there's an old TV commercial that portrays a boss talking with several of his male employees in a video conference. Unfortunately for them, a backdrop behind them collapses, revealing that they are not sitting in an office, but at a golf course. In their failed attempt to fool their boss, these men also reveal their fanatical devotion to golf. To them, work is just a necessary part of their lives that enables them to pursue their real passion. In a similar way, I think your approach to leadership can reveal whether it is a passion or just a diversion. If you have been called to lead, then leadership to you is not a hobby, it is a calling. You have a stewardship responsibility before God to be diligent and faithful wherever He placed you. The assignment, whatever it may be, must be accomplished. He says, but here's the key. If you are passionate about being a leader, you must not only be deeply, passionately committed to God and His assignments for you, but you also must be committed to the people through whom He wants to accomplish His work. And there's one sure way to test that commitment, one way to prove whether leadership is a hobby or a passion. Are you willing to sacrifice yourself in order to serve those who serve you? What's your answer to that question? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself in order to serve those who serve you? If the answer is yes, truly, the honest answer, not what you know is the right answer, but if the honest answer is yes, you are, then perfect. If you're someone where your honest answer is no, I'm actually not willing to sacrifice myself for anybody, then this is something that I would suggest you add as a prayer point. One of the reasons why we are so self-reflection heavy on this podcast is because my personal opinion is that self-awareness is one of the secrets to success. Number two, I believe that having that element of self-awareness, especially of the things that keep you distant from the Lord and things that keep you separate from His character, I believe that you should address those things so that you could keep that submitted to the Lord and He could transform you. I remember early on in my journey, and this was top of mind because I did a podcast interview recently, and I was thinking back to early on in my journey where this was the time where I had shut down my business. I had just switched over the podcast. All I had was the podcast. All of the business that I had grown, that I was making money from, finally, I'm self-employed at this time. I had to shut it down because the Lord said so. And at this time, one of the first instructions that the Lord gave me was to read the book of Jeremiah. And I was frustrated because I didn't know why I had to read that book. Jeremiah, the book, is depressing, is long, is out of order. Jeremiah did not have a life that was exciting or successful by world standards. The people hated him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. He was whiny. Like, it wasn't necessarily one of those reads where you read it and you're like, oh, the Lord is about to change my life. I'm about to be so successful or great or whatever. It was kind of sad. And I was really confused as to why the Lord had me in that book. But what the Lord asked me in that study time was, if your life looked like His, would you still serve me? Because at that time, I'm still fresh and in my height of my achieving nature, my vision boards, the goals, the driven person who has accumulated all of these trophies, but whose heart needed so much work. And the honest answer that I gave the Lord that day of would I serve Him if my life would look like Jeremiah, my honest answer was no, I wouldn't in the current state that I was in. And I asked the Lord, I said, but I want to be so devoted to You that if my life looked like His, I will still be content. I want to be so devoted to You to where even if I gave up everything, lost everything, and nothing that I have on my vision board or my goals list was to get accomplished, that I will still be content in You. I want to be that way, but right now I'm not. And it's through that level of honesty that I believe the Lord was able to truly transform and work on my heart. So when I ask you these questions and we have these moments on the show where I say, hey, think about this, pray about this, what's your answer to this? What's the honest answer to this. I'm doing that for a reason, because it's through that transparency and vulnerability that the Lord can transform you. And so don't just let this be a rhetorical question that you write off, but really pay attention to what your answer is and what your heart posture is, so that you can then take that to the Lord. And let that be a regular practice on your relationship with God, to where you're able to recognize things within yourself that are not Christ-like, because Jesus was the sacrifice. So if your answer is no, I won't sacrifice myself for those that serve me, then of course that means that that's not a Christ-like trait, which means that it's a trait that needs to be addressed, especially if the Lord is going to use you in any type of leadership capacity. I also have highlighted here, he says, at the heart of biblical leadership is a bond and a love for people who share the call and assignment. The question every leader needs to ask is, what am I willing to do so that the people I lead know that I love and care for them? This is another one of those questions that I think are or could be a helpful reflection of, what can I do to show those that I lead that I love and care for them? And this is something that can be applied to those you lead professionally, whether at your job, whether in your ministry, whether in your business, also within your home and your community. I think about this often as a mother. How can I show my children that I love and care for them? Something I do with my oldest son is, a lot of times in the evenings, I go to Pilates around the time that my husband is doing the bedtime routine and stuff with them. And he'll say, oh, mommy, where are you going? I said, mommy's going to Pilates. He's like, oh, can you read me a story? Like, he wants me to put him to bed because he just wants some time. And I'll say, well, I have to go take this Pilates class, but when I come back, how about, even if you're asleep, I come in and I give you a kiss and I lay with you for a little bit before I go to bed. And he's like, okay. And so every time we make that agreement, I'll come back home and I'll crawl into bed with him, give him a kiss. Sometimes he'll open one eye because he, of course, is trying to see who is this in my room. But he'll open his little eye and I'll see him smiling as he dozes back off because I came in and fulfilled that commitment. And just letting him know that he's heard, he's loved, he's seen, and that I follow through on the things that I say that I'm going to do. Something that I do in general when it comes to just relationships with people, but I especially do this in my marriage and also in relationships when I had a larger team, people I was working with more regularly in my business, I would just write down things. I would have like a note section in my phone to where if I am having a casual conversation with somebody and something comes up that I could use to bless them or show them that they're valued later, then I would make a note of it so I wouldn't forget it. So like one time somebody on my team, we were just talking and she was talking about her fitness journey and stuff that she was working on in the gym or whatever. And she was saying how she wanted an Apple Watch because she wanted to do, you know, track it, all the little features and stuff that the Apple Watches have. And I put in my phone, in my notes section of my phone, such and such wants an Apple Watch. She didn't ask me for it. Nothing about that conversation was trying to get me to purchase one, but it was just something she mentioned that she wanted and just hadn't purchased yet for whatever reason. So then when our holiday season came around, when we were just giving out gifts as a company, as we do every year, I bought her an Apple Watch. And she was grateful for it and extremely excited. But that was just a way for me to show her my love and appreciation for what she does. This episode is brought to you by IXL Learning. Parents, now y'all know this homework that we help these kids with is not the homework that we did when we were growing up. Do you feel like your child is asking questions on their homework and you don't quite have the answers? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I love how IXL makes learning fun and adapts to the level of your specific child. Funny enough, I learned that this upcoming fall, my son's school actually uses IXL, and I'm so excited to become an official IXL parent. This program will improve your kids' grades, it will work for any of your kids, and you save time. One subscription gets you everything,
One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. You save money, so if your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment that you can make. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I do that with my husband all the time because he's not the type to ask for anything. Whenever he mentions something that he wants, like he'll show me a pair of shoes or we'll be talking. He'd be like, man, I'm trying to do this. So I've been meaning to blah, blah, blah. I just put a note section in my phone. I go look at his Amazon cart, all the stuff that he never buy, but he adds to his cart and I send it to myself so that I every now and then, if I want to surprise him or if it's an occasion, I'll buy something that he's been meaning to buy for himself that he hasn't gotten around to yet as a way to show my appreciation. So something that I've learned over the years is that a great way to love those who serve you is to be present with them, is to listen to them, and to answer those communicated or uncommunicated needs. So if somebody is on your team or working with you in some type of way, and let's say they are talking about they're tired or they came in kind of groggy in the morning saying they had a long weekend or something like that, let them have the rest of the day off just because. Hey, go get some rest. I know you were tired. Don't worry about it. Just get some rest. Something that I did 1 year for my team, we had a busy year. We were just working a lot. We had a lot of clients. A lot of stuff came up. It was just a very busy year that year. And I gave the team all of December off paid. And I said, take all of the month, pour into yourself, pour into the projects that the Lord has given you. Do whatever you want. Do nothing for all I care, but don't work. And you'll still get paid for the whole month. Because that was my way of repaying them for all the extra work that they've done for the company, all the things that aren't in their job description that they had to do because the job had to get done. So there are so many ways that you could get creative. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to take a lot. But if you're present with people, if you're listening to people and you truly love and honor people, and then you will be able to see ways that you could serve them and show your appreciation. So think about that. Whatever area that you lead, again, whether it's your household, your job, ministry, your business, whether you have full-time employees or just some friends who help you out from time to time, it doesn't matter. But listen to them and really take time to consider and think about how to show them that you love and you care about them. Because that's important, not just to boost morale. Because remember, we talked about in previous chapters how leadership is not just a strategy, right? So it's not just to boost morale or to get more out of people or to raise your stock within them. But it's not about that at all. But it's about being Christ-like, being loving, and showing up and showing people that you care and you're there for them the same way that the Lord does us. Because God loves his people. He loves us. And for us to be Christ-like, we have to love his people as well. We honor him by honoring his people. And you do that through actions. I have highlighted here, he says, sacrifice is the evidence of your commitment to God's call and to the people you serve. Sacrifice is the window through which others clearly see your heart for them and your desire that they not fall short of anything God wants them to be or do. Sacrifice says you are willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. He says, sacrifice is also an expression of your faith and confidence in God. You can give to others because you know God will take care of you. And out of gratitude for God's great sacrifice in giving his son so that you would be set free from the death sentence of sin, you give to others. This is something that is difficult, I feel like, in practice for entrepreneurs in particular, because while we have this responsibility to do whatever it takes to invest in people so that they fulfill their call, we also have a responsibility to our business for it to grow, to our customers, to our bottom line. We have these metrics that need to be met. We have this organization that needs to grow, that needs to make money. And so the question initially is like, well, where is that line? Or what does this duality look like as it relates to the entrepreneurship lens? And the only answer that I could give is that this is why the previous section of Uncommon Communion is so important, because it's through that abiding in the Lord, it's through you keeping in step with the Holy Spirit and you constantly putting yourself in a place of being in His presence that you learn what this looks like in application. Is where you learn what the duality looks like of you being someone who's Christ-led, Christ-centered, abiding by the principles of the Bible that have been laid out in this book, but also an entrepreneur who has obligations to the business. It's only through your connection to the Lord that you learn how to navigate this well, how to have the necessary harmony to know when sacrifice means letting somebody go, or when sacrifice means taking some losses financially in order to pour into an individual. Only the Lord will be able to give you the correct steps on how to navigate this from the entrepreneurship lens. But I wanted to bring this to light because, one, I feel like that's one of the drawbacks of the book, is that there are some nuances to entrepreneurship that I feel like could be considered in a lot of these lessons. But also, with this being an entrepreneurship podcast, I don't want you to just take these things as it being like, oh, this sounds good, I'm going to do that, without warning you that the application of a lot of this stuff is a lot more difficult and detailed than it may seem, based on how the author describes it. I have highlighted here, he says, contrary to every instinct and intuition in you, the way to profound fulfillment and an overwhelming sense of purpose is to give yourself for others. It is in dying to yourself for the right reasons that you find yourself and experience life to the fullest. This was Jesus' point in John 12, 24 and 25, when he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If you struggle with surrender, I believe that this is a text that you should sit with. John 12, 24 and 25. It's tough when you think about the level of surrender and sacrifice that the Lord requires of us. It's difficult to feel like you have to really give up everything, your life, your perspective, your opinions, everything, to be transformed and submit yourself to be transformed by the Lord and commit to whatever His plan is for your life. That can be very nerve-wracking. It can be scary. I'm sure that for any of you who have struggled or who are struggling with surrender, it can be daunting. But I promise you, there is an indescribable level of fulfillment and purpose on the other half of that surrender. If I look back over the last however many years of my life, since I truly gave it up for the Lord, man, the joy, the fulfillment, the peace, the purpose, things that we chase in the world or we chase with stuff and vanity, that will never replace the level of deep fulfillment that you get from giving your life up for the Lord. That does not mean that your life is going to be absent of trouble. But trouble don't hit the same when you know that you have that level of protection, when you know that you are covered by the Lord. Trouble doesn't have as big of an impact when you're in that surrendered state. And so I would encourage anybody who was in that place where you haven't quite yet given your life up for him, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that as soon as possible. Anybody who, if you're in that space where you are searching for fulfillment, maybe it's with work, business, ministry, you're looking outwardly for a level of contentment and fulfillment, I promise you that nothing will give you what you're looking for except for a life that is given up for the Lord. I promise you. And not that surface level surrender, the God, I give you my all, but then you go back to being in control. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a life to where you have given it all up. You've sacrificed every bit of who you are in order to adopt the identity that he created you for in the first place. That level of denying your flesh completely, that level of surrender. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that today and accept what the Lord has on the other side of it and bask in that fulfillment and that sense of purpose and joy that is waiting on the other half of that decision. Now, the author, he started getting a little spicy in this next part. I was like, dang, you ain't playing. He says, too many of us are spending too much time and energy on ourselves. Our spiritual crop is limited and even non-existent because we refuse to be buried. We're standing on top of the soil insisting, hey, look at me and watch where you're stepping. Don't you know I'm unique and a special piece of grain? Our self-absorption is hurting our ability to love and give to others so that they can soar and be all that God intended for them to be. In fact, we are unwittingly engaged in a sort of negative discipleship, teaching others by our example that we should help and give to others only up to the point where we have to sacrifice ourselves. Is it any wonder that we increasingly speak of the responsibilities placed in our hand as a job or a career and not as a sacred trust worthy of our call? I fear we are witnessing the erosion of the nobility of sacrifice. And I think he's very right as it relates to this. And social media in this digital age has exacerbated this issue because it's all about vanity. It's all about look at me. It's all about I, me, 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 self absorption. That's what sells. That's what gets the views. That's what gets the listens. It's rewarded. But us as Christian leaders have to reject that world system. We have to operate in it to a certain extent, but we have to reject its ways so that we could stay true to this. I thought this next part was really interesting. He said, a servant leader will be called to sacrifice himself in many different ways. Here are a few. One, dealing with difficult people. I'm sure you've heard the old line, leadership would be great if it weren't for the people. Just think what we could accomplish if we didn't have to deal with motivating, apathetic people, answering innumerable questions, and working through their differences and disagreements with us. I will admit that through the years, I've worked with a number of people who caused my heart to race and my defenses to switch onto full alert every time I saw them. I would think, here comes trouble, and wish I could hide in my office. In my case, it seems as if God makes sure that I always have somebody like that around. Why? Because he wants me to love and give even to those who irritate me. Did we step on some toes here? Let's go back. In my case, it seems as if God makes sure that I always have somebody like this around. Why? Because he wants me to love and give even to those who irritate me. He reminds me that part of his assignment involves helping people like this grow in their faith. And he reminds me of the times I've been difficult to people that I reported to. This next one is especially real for us as entrepreneurs. Number two, it says, giving up the urge to just get the task done. I often need to remind myself that completing the task may only be a small part of an assignment from God. For those of us who are driven by a need to work and to complete a job, this is a very hard balance to hold in tension. We are haunted by the pressure to get the job done, and it's easy to see those who report to us as mere instruments to complete the task, Oh, how it stings when someone says, I only think you care about me when you want something from me or when you want me to work a little harder. Especially because I know what it feels like to be the objects of someone's relational strategy to help them accomplish their agenda. I know a few guys who only seem to call me when they need or want something. You should hear the conversation. You would think we hung out together on a regular basis. I said that this one was useful to us as entrepreneurs because how many of you have struggled with delegating? Where hiring people, having volunteers, interns, anybody helping you with something is difficult for you to relinquish control because you just want to get it done and you want to get it done quickly. And if somebody's taking too long or if they're making mistakes, they're not doing it the way that you want them to do it or the way that you would do it yourself, you're like, here, just let me do it. I'm very guilty of that, especially early on when it came to business and delegating. But if we're just so focused on getting the task done, so much so to where we're not taking time to really pour into the people and we're just using them as an instrument to get something done, then that's an issue. If the Lord has allowed someone to serve his vision by way of working with you, then it is your job to sacrifice the time. Get over that frustration you have of giving up control. You have to sacrifice all of that so that you can take the time to pour into that person because that's going to help them be better at what the Lord has tasked them with as far as their role in your business. That's going to make them better as individuals in their greater call. And that's going to also increase their faith and their perception of doing business God's way. Some of the best compliments I feel like I've gotten in business from people who've worked with me is that, man, you're showing me that this is what can happen when you truly obey the Lord. Like, I see how you pray. I see how you talk to us, how you seek the word for certain situations. And that inspired me as I'm doing my role here at the company and also other things that God has called me to. It's built up my faith and given me more insight and wisdom on how to serve in other areas better. And so this is a form of discipleship when somebody works with you. And so as a Christian business owner, we got to bypass, again, the way the world does things of just using people as pawns to grow and get ahead, but also take the time to resist the urge to just, quote unquote, get it done and to take the time to properly invest and disciple folks in their role, because that's going to be way more rewarding than whatever quick fix or quick dopamine hit that you're going to get by simply checking something off a box. And it also wastes your money as a business owner if you're going to pay people to do a job that you're just going to do yourself anyway. The author even elaborates on this a bit with number 3, where he says one of the sacrifices you have to make is investing in those who report to you. Sometimes this requires a sacrifice of your time. For example, you may be facing a huge workload and you feel pressure to devote all your time to completing it, but you also see the need to spend time training someone in how to do their job. Or you just need to spend time outside of the office with your coworkers to develop a better relationship. Investing in others may require a sacrifice in your prominence. You love preaching on Sunday mornings, but you give up speaking slots to an assistant pastor who needs the experience. You prefer to give presentations yourself, but you assign some to a subordinate to help him develop his skills. Some of you may even be very aware that you're training your replacements, that at some point a subordinate will take your place and you may even end up reporting to him. This is assuming the attitude of John the Baptist, who knew that as Jesus began his public ministry, his own would end. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, this fourth way that he says leaders must sacrifice, I do not agree with at all. I'll read and then I'll tell you why. It says giving up time with family. While there may be many who lose their families in their drive for success, there are others who swing to the other extreme. While we don't want to be workaholics and lose our families while we are fulfilling God's assignments, some have made family an idol. They have neglected and, in some cases, abdicated God's call for their lives because they wrongly assumed that this was an either-or proposition. They refused to let anything come in the way of family commitments. Now, this part, I definitely agree with people making family an idol, people who just feel like it's either or, it's either my family or what the Lord has called me to. I agree that those things are all incorrect. I even have highlighted here, though, where he says they refuse to let anything come in the way of family commitments. We will have to define what commitments mean here, because if I committed something to my family, nothing is going to get in the way of that. And I don't believe that the Lord will want me to break promises or commitments to my family for his work. I don't think that that is a part of the assignment. But for him, maybe commitments ain't that deep. Maybe he's just talking about, you know, some more lighthearted things that the family may have going on, some school plays or something like that. But for me, when I think of commitments, I put it on that pedestal of I made a promise to do this. And I personally don't believe in breaking those promises to my family. But nevertheless, he says, in fact, God may want to use the sacrifices associated with your calling to build and strengthen your family. For example, the nature of what I've been called to do means that I've had to travel and be away from my family. I can't tell you the number of times I wrestled with feelings of guilt because I missed a child's ball game, recital, or some other event. I was torn because I love my children and didn't want them to grow up feeling that I neglected them. I didn't want them to despise what I did because it took me away from them. But as Karen, his wife, and I discussed it, we developed the conviction that there were times when I needed to follow God's call in my life, even if it meant I couldn't always be there for my family. Our four children are adults now, and they too are involved in ministry. Our two sons are both preachers, doing pretty much what I've done for most of my life. I marvel and scratch my head to wonder at the goodness and grace of God to Karen and me. We placed our children in God's hands and often prayed this prayer. God, because you have called me to this ministry, please give me wisdom and show me how to be a good husband and father. Please take care of them in every way as I give myself to what you have called me to do. I know it sounds simple, but God answered this prayer. In no way am I suggesting that we should neglect our families. We certainly need to give them what they need and deserve in terms of our time and attention. And one of the most important lessons in life is that sometimes there must be justifiable sacrifices. There are times when they should lay aside what they would like or want for no other reason than it is the right thing to do. I wrote in the margin here that I find this to be old school. I'm going to take context into consideration that this guy is an older Black man. This was, I'm sure, when he was earlier on in this ministry and his kids were young. Culturally at that time, and I still think in a lot of ways, it's culturally acceptable for a man to be the one out providing for his family. And that's more understandable. And then a mom being the one that's in the home, holding down the fort, supporting the children, the household, and then also supporting her husband. So I could see how this was their dynamic. I'm happy that his children have grown up to love the Lord and serve the Lord. And I believe that is in large part of a lot of the principles that he teaches in this book that he's embodied in his own life. But for me personally, I just don't feel that my family is a sacrifice that I have to make for me to do what God has called me to do. I look at my family as part of those that I sacrifice for, not the ones that I sacrifice for leadership outside the home. And maybe that's just because I'm a woman. And so it's a bit different for me. But also in today's time, the way in which we could conduct business and ministry is so modern and technology driven. I believe that it provides ways to where you don't have to sacrifice your family as you may have before, or time with your family as you may have before. And especially as women, I believe there's a harmony that is there for us to step into, to be able to serve in every area that the Lord has called us to. And what that harmony looks like for us as individuals, will come through being in his presence through wisdom and strategy that can only come from him. But yeah, when I got to that last part, I wrote in the margin, like, absolutely not. My kid's going to see me. I'm going to be at the things, and I'm also going to do what the Lord has called me to. And I'm going to get them involved in what the Lord has called me to. There is no keeping ministry or business keeping me away from my first ministry, but that's a whole nother topic. I'm going to go ahead and end this here. I pray that this episode has blessed you all, that you understand the power of sacrifice, that you are asking yourself the tough questions of if you are willing to sacrifice. I pray that you are thinking through and strategizing about how to show those who serve you in any capacity how you love and appreciate them. And most of all, as always, I pray that this episode has given you some things to sit with the Lord about and pray about in your own time. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.